they seal up this pyramid and walk away like, done for the day, everyone. But Blue Lightning has different plans. Blue Lightning blows open the door. Blue Lightning shocks the coffin, which presumably would have that lady inside it. And she turns into a pair of Nike high tops.
This scene, I start laughing out loud at this scene because he pulls these Nikes out in wonder. Like there's like an enchanted scepter in
there. Shoes for feet. But she is turned into clothes. Her dead body is turned into clothes. Or is he wearing her clothes and she was wearing Nikes? We just didn't see her feet. Where did her body go? Aren't her clothes hot after being struck by lightning? This music video has no answers.
Nope, not a one.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, rockin' time is here. That's right. We're talking about crocuses screaming in the night. A music video we've all heard of on Kill the Rockstar. Well, greetings and salutations, Internet. It's your old pal, Patrick Hamilton, coming to you once again from either a post-apocalyptic future or just a rando diner. This is the Kill by Kill podcast, where usually we're talking about horror movie characters and talking about them in the order in which they die, but in our off weeks. We like to talk about music videos that are either tangentially horror-related or may have killed the rock star's career. This week, we're discussing the heavy metal also-ran's Crocus and their music video effort called Screaming in the Night. And of course, there's only one person I trust to make sure that even though that jail door is broken, she'll make sure it kind of looks like it's still attached to the rest of the gate. The one, the only, Gina Radcliffe. How are you doing today, Gina?
Oh, don't mind me. I'm just stepping on your lunch here while I look in shock at a television screen.
Well, I love that when he stomps across everyone's dishes, they one at a time throw the food that's in their mouth out of their mouth and then are unsure what to do for the rest of the time they're on camera because moving faster.
Yeah, I am more boggled by the fact that it looks like one gentleman is eating a burger that appears to have a tampon string hanging out of it. and I don't know. Maybe it's supposed to be like cheese hanging down or something. Yeah. I really wish I'd gone back and did a whole, what do you call it? Enhance. It couldn't have been that, but it looked like that. And I feel like they probably should have, redone that. So it did not look like the man was eating a hamburger with a tampon in it.
Yeah, I think the entire theme of this music video is should have gone back and did something redone it. With it. Had you ever heard of Crocus before I brought this up?
You know, I have. I don't think that this is the first time I ever heard anything from them. Mm. As I've mentioned numerous times, I grew up in Southern New Jersey, in a very suburban to rural area. Mm-hmm. And so hair metal was a huge thing in my predominantly extremely white school, high school. We had like half of my sophomore class looked like that guy from last season of Stranger Things, the new fanfare, I think Eddie or something like that. But they were all, it was all that guy. Yeah, with like the long hair and the raggedy denim jacket with all the patches on the back. And Crocus was like a big name that popped up for these bands. But I don't think I ever heard them. They certainly didn't. Even though this song was considered their big cross because they were Swiss.
They're Swedish. Swiss, yeah.
Yeah. So this was considered their big crossover into the States song. But I don't think I ever heard it on the radio, and I definitely have not seen this video before. No,
I had not. My only introduction to Crocus was that when I was a studio guide at Universal, another guide wore a crocus band tee to work one day. I'm like, the fuck is that? Like, what exactly is doing there? And she's like, crocus, heavy metal band, you know? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to, obviously you're not making it up, but part of me feels like you are. Like, I don't know why you would give me the snow job on crocus existing, but it feels like everyone's playing a trick on me. And then I guess because I've been watching so many terrible music videos, YouTube's like, well, have you watched this? And it came up and I watched the first 2 minutes of it and I immediately messaged you and I said, we're doing this.
What I think is funny is when you look up crocus on Wikipedia, there's two things that amuse me about their Wikipedia page and, you know, presumably a part of the band's history. Number one, they've been around since about you and I were born. Yes. They've been around a long time. And in their entire time of existence, they have had approximately 47 members. Yes. They just rotate out singers. They rotate out lead guitarists. I don't think there are currently any original members of Crocus. I think you compare them to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
I think the Mormon Tabernacle Choir has fewer members.
At this point, it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, it's the Temptations, but it's like four new guys. you're not going to actually see the original Temptations anymore. Well, you're not going to, because no one actually knows what the original lineup of Crocus was.
Yeah.
Because they just keep like just switching out people every few years. But the other funny thing is they are named for the flower. Mm-hmm. But they changed the spelling to make it rockin'. Right. I guess. And apparently the band liked so much that the middle of Crocus was R-O-K. Like, yeah, but your name isn't spelled Crocus. Right. which or maybe it is, and we're just
maybe
spelled,
it is Crocus, and we've been this whole maybe, time. There's no phonetic spelling of it anywhere that I ever saw.
I like that detail because it has the word rock in the middle. Right. That's what they think it's. That just feels like a very Metalocalypse gag to me.
And like all of our greatest heavy metal artists, they started out as a prog rock band when we were born and just existed for nearly a full decade in anonymity. Up until the point the remaining members of the band caught an AC/DC concert and they're like, oh, we should just do this. We should do what they're doing. And so it only took them 5 more years of existing before they got to Screaming in the Night, which was a particular AC/DC song.
Yeah, and which was like ended up being like a minor hit.
Yes, but it was their only minor hit, and so as a result, like only real heads know that Crocus exists, and so this was a delightful revelation because I'd never seen this music video before. I believe everyone should watch it before listening to the rest of the episode. So if you haven't,
I genuinely want to know from the audience, did anybody know this song before we did this episode? Was anybody actually familiar with this song?
Yeah.
And the video? I want to know from people around our age. From the folks who would have had, you know, ready and frequent access to MTV, do you remember this song? Because I don't. Yeah. And I feel like I was, you know, I was a, like I've said before, I was a day one MTV kid. So there's a lot of obscure shit that I vaguely remember seeing. Not this, though.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching the Nickelodeon version of MTV when they would just play music videos for like an hour over the weekend.
Right. And I remember like Friday night videos, like, nope, yeah. this, I don't recall. This is the very first time I ever laid eyes on it.
And it's gorgeous. All of it is has that video transposition coloring going on to it. So we open on a castle above a sea of brown.
You know what it feels like? It feels very much like something MST3K would have covered.
Yes.
Right. Like I would, if you had told me that it was Miles O'Keefe playing the almost nude man, pooling, who was actually the lead singer of Procus, apparently, you know, either strapped to or dragging this giant wagon behind him. Like I would be like, yeah, all right, Miles O'Keefe. Sure.
Yes. The only difference is that it's mixed in with a bunch of stuff. Cause you guessed it, folks. We're in a Mad Max universe.
It's a little, but it was also a little like medieval times universe too.
Yeah. It's both. Cause you got a pleather and fur warrior ladies doing modern dance, driving a team of baghead Jasons, pulling a cart full of the members of Crocus, and the lead singer is crucified on a broomstick.
Almost nude. I mean, this man is like, he's wearing like a pair of bikini underwear and like nothing else.
He's wearing a fur G-string diaper. It's hard to make a baggy diaper, but they, that's a G-string and make it a fur, but he's wearing it. He certainly is. Otherwise he would be a nude man. And I just gotta say, there's a lot of modern dance for a funeral.
There is a lot of modern dance happening in this video.
Hope no one needs to get to work because this funeral is taking up the entire road all fucking day. They're not going fast. They don't have anything else to do.
Nope.
So as I mentioned, it's kind of a Mad Max universe because there's machine guns and one car, but it's also medieval times for reasons. The band and their one lady friend are captured and forced into manual labor at what could be like the Wheel of Woe from Conan, except they have cute outfits on.
And they're kind of doing a funny little dance, too, that I can't quite figure out. Yeah, you forgot to mention that their gal pal, even though we're in a sort of one half post-apocalyptic hellscape, one half medieval times, she's got that perfect Dorothy Hamill wedge haircut.
Yes. Well, and that bandana, that woven bandana. Really, yeah,
she looks very much like she took third place in a Pat Benatar lookalike contest.
Yes. At any second, she could fill in for Brigitte Nielsen in that robot photo shoot from Cobra. She could just slot right in. And this particular Wheel of Woe that the band is taking to looks a tad on the cheap side. There's a Dalek stand-in on top of it, barely lit. And it looks like the spokes of the wheel are just broom handles.
I think it looks, as best as I could tell by the shoddy special effects and design, is they are generating electricity. Either that, or they are trying to draw in lightning. Now, again, I am completely just guessing this because you've got like a lot of like chintzy, like unholy lighting effects and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, I guess they're making this happen. This is their job.
They make the lightning happen. Sure. It's a red sky with neon blue lightning. Maybe this is the way you generate it. I'm not particularly sure. I also have trouble believing that they are prisoners because the door that is supposed to open to this Wheel of Woe is not attached to the rest of the fence. So the guy playing the guard has to hold it with two hands and make it act like a door. It's like, we could zip tie this. There's got to be a way to attach it to the rest of the fencing, but they don't have the time and they don't have the money. And they're like, no one will notice. Podcasts don't exist. Where is this music video getting the production value from? Everyone says. And to that, I respond with extras. That's right. People in the background. You've got people selling the number two. You've got little people in elf stocking caps. You've got lots of soldiers in leather hoods. And, of course, you have street preachers in a bikini holding weasels.
Yeah, I didn't know that in a post-apocalyptic universe, suddenly, the number two would become a hot commodity.
Yeah, what is he selling the number two for? Like, what is the going rate for the number two in this universe? And the lady friend is escorted to the throne of who I thought for a little while was Paul L. Smith from Kill by Kill favorite pieces and Popeye. He played Bluto on Popeye. But the more that goes on, the less he looks like Paul L. Smith and just like a Paul L. Smith alike.
Yeah, he's just this like kind of burly bearded dude who, you know, you can't hear any of the dialogue, but you can practically tell he's going, ah, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
But he's like, he's pretty much twirling a mustache.
He's ruling al fresco on this stone throne in the middle of medieval times, the future. And has a military getup, kind of like he has medals and shit from a war he didn't fight. I'm assuming. I don't know why he's the king, other than we're presented with the fact that he apparently is ruling this wasteland. He's neither a master nor a blaster in my eyes, but okay. One of my favorite moments in this whole thing is when lead singer and mostly naked person Mark Storce attempts to kiss his lady friend between the bars of his jail cell and misses her face and kisses the bars instead.
I am reminded of the movie we watched for the episode we recorded before this, which was Embrace of the Vampire, in which a character attempts to bite someone's neck through a net, it was a volleyball net or something. And
yes.
Is sort of like trying to move the net out of the way with his mouth, like a making the same motion a dog would make if he's trying to get peanut butter out through the side of its mouth.
Now, I didn't bring this up in that episode, but I really should have. Is that death a get bumped because she's killed through the net?
I guess technically it would be.
All we have is technically with Get Bunked. We're the only arbiters of it. We're like the Beyond Yacht Rock guys. Only we can determine what Yacht Rock is. Only we can say.
But does it count if your body is the weapon?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I there's nothing in the rule book against it. This is all dogs playing basketball as far as I'm concerned.
Ain't no rule that says it's not a get bunked.
Listen, I'm not so sure of myself. If you have reason to believe that death is not a get bunked, please let us know. But I don't know why that lady shows up at this jail cell to attempt to kiss him through the bars and fail. But she's quickly snapped up by King Bluto and he stabs her to death and just... He's so happy with himself, Gina. I wish I could experience this kind of joy.
Yeah, he is. He's like, yay!
My plan came together of you awkwardly not kissing an eye killer. Yay! And so I don't know if the previous funeral procession was this funeral or this is a different funeral of taking the coffin and the lead singer to this pyramid. Is it the same or is it different? I mean, because now he's strapped to a metal table by chains. So he's not crucified on a broomstick anymore. It's a different Jesus allegory.
Yeah, no, maybe it is a different procession. I'm not, because I feel like she was there in the first one, but I'm not 100% on that.
I mean, they're dressed in completely different outfits when they're led to the Wheel of Woe. He's not in the fur bikini anymore. He's in normal clothes with one spiky shoulder pad. It's hard to interpret exactly what is happening in this music video. But what I do know is that when they stuff a coffin full of lady and the lead singer into a mirror-covered pyramid, as you do, we get a background singer who is auditioning for the lead here. She is going off. She's dancing so hard you would think she was being romanced by a cartoon cat.
Yeah, she's like, Bob Fosse, you watching this?
She is hitting it every move. See, when you move your arms like this, that's what makes it hip-hop. And so she is dancing. They seal up this pyramid and walk away like, done for the day, everyone. But Blue Lightning has different plans. Blue Lightning blows open the door. Blue Lightning shocks the coffin, which presumably would have that lady inside it. And she turns into a pair of Nike high tops.
This scene, I start laughing out loud at this scene because he pulls these Nikes out in wonder. Like there's like an enchanted scepter.
Shoes for feet. But she is turned into clothes. Her dead body is turned into clothes. Or is he wearing her clothes and she was wearing Nikes? We just didn't see her feet. Where did her body go? Aren't her clothes hot after being struck by lightning? This music video has no answers.
Nope, not a one.
Good news, everyone. He's found an exit out of that pyramid, but it's not through the open door that's been struck open by lightning. No, he goes to a trap door amongst tarps. Tarps everywhere.
We got tarps back, baby.
They were gone for too long. Early 1980s music videos love tarps. And so he travels down this ladder in what turns out to be an interdimensional portal to a greasy spoon where the TV is playing the music video this guy is a lead singer of, and he is mystified by it.
Yeah, and there's his lady friend is actually, I guess she's supposed to be like a Martha Quinn type. She's like, she's like, you know, offering commentary on this video
in front of a Chiron that says rock plus roll, not even an end. That's how confused this music video is about rock and roll. Crocus. And so when Mark lands in this new and strange land, he does not know the customs or ways. And so walks across the entire county.
Like slowly, he's taking these very slow, deliberate steps. Like, you know, how about that omelet? And how about that burger? And how about that club sandwich?
Hope you enjoy your toast. And this one guy... It's like the second person at the counter gets up and walks away from it like, oh, no, I don't want any part of this, but doesn't know what to do with his body while he's still in frame. He just looks around like, am I still on camera? Am I still on camera? You are. We're not doing a second take. We can't afford new eggs. So the lead singer wanders over to the TV and just starts aggressively singing at it.
Yeah, like a very careful enunciating of the that, you know, I know the words to my own song.
The barrel in the sun. You're like, okay, great. The waitress, completely into it. She loves that this is happening. The guy behind, the cook, who was King Dorko from before, he now has become a barf. We have barf, everyone. And so he's like,
he's about to put like a cigarette out on like a burger and just hand it over right to someone.
Take off his hairnet and put it in somebody's fries. That's his opinion on this. And that's it. That's the music video. He's just like singing away at this television. And then the lead guitarist is pouring sugar on top of his pancakes and doesn't know how a sugar dispenser works. That's the grand denouement of this music video.
Yeah, just like mugging at the camera, like, oh, this has all been very, what a lark this has all been.
So as far as like a choose your own death venture, it's, we don't have a bunch of choices. You can either get stabbed to death outside of a jail cell or get struck by lightning. I'm not sure there is another death.
No. I think just the stabbing. All right. So let's do something else then. Like okay. if you were a diner and some dude in a Canadian tuxedo just like you know, came down from a ladder out of a hole in the ceiling.
Yeah,
and just hopped up on the counter and started walking on everybody's food. What would you choose from that diner menu?
What is a good diner?
I don't know. Y'all got good diners out in Los Angeles. I feel like you don't. Yeah. I feel like that's very East Coast thing.
Yeah, as close as we have it in town, we have a restaurant called Haas Hut that's kind of diner esque and. They've got some okay fare, but like a true diner classic. If you can't get good eggs at a diner, that diner should be shut down.
Yes. 100%.
I generally, my experience with New Jersey diners, the menu was often too large. It needed to be pared down.
Yes. And never get the surf and turf. It's just a bad idea.
No. You do not want seafood from a diner, no. With the exception of a tuna melt.
Yes.
I love a good tuna melt.
Is that going to be your selection then? Or are you going to get eggs?
I think I'm going to go with tuna melt. Or maybe I'm just hungry for lunch.
Okay. I am going to go full Jersey and say French toast. And are you familiar with a food called scrapple, Patrick?
Oh, yeah, scrapple.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The best scrapple can be made at home. But the best scrapple is at diners because they deep fry them shits and it takes a year off your life every time you eat it. That's why I only tend to eat it when I go home to visit friends or family. But it is it's one of those foods where it's like, you know, well, what's in it? It's best you just don't know. it just trust me, you know, delicious is what's in it. That's all you need to know. But yeah, I think I would go with a nice French toast and scrapple for this guy to put his to mush his foot into.
A rootin' tootin' fresh and scrapple.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to take a year off your life, but not one of the good ones.
I mean, one of the old ones, and fuck that, you know what I mean? Yeah,
screw that. You would have rather had the scrap.
Exactly. So exactly.
Yeah. So that just about does it. This is one of how we can go an hour and a half on Embrace of the Vampire and not even crack the 30-minute mark on this. I can't even begin to tell you, but it is a 5-minute music video, and yet so much of it is blue lightning.
Yeah, it's like, you know, most heavy metal bands in the late 70s and early 80s went through their, you know, we don't know if it's post-apocalyptic or medieval, so we're just going to kind of glom it all together phase. Mm-hmm. Like Kiss had one, everybody, all heavy metal bands went through that sort of imagery. It's just, this one is funny because it is definitely trying to tell a story and, you know, I will say in its favor, the nudist anybody gets is the lead singer. Like there's not a lot of, you know, excuses to show half naked women or anything like that, or, you know, slave girls or, you know, so in that kind of imagery, it's, you know, pretty much non-existent. So it does have that in its favor. You know, the only person that it is, fetishizing is the lead singer. And I can't say he deserves it. Once again, we have another face made for radio.
Well, you know, beggars could not be choosers at this time. And you had to go with the long-haired dude who could scream that you brought to the table. And so they did. It's Crocus's Screaming in the Night. It'll leave you screaming in the middle of the day, like it did me.
Screaming rock and roll. I'm sorry. Rock plus roll.
And so that pretty much does it. Don't worry, folks. The body count will continue for myself and for Gina. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.